You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everyone. It's Jake Madison with Locked On Pelicans. I'm here today to talk about a couple different things. We're going to go over Anthony Davis and his leadership role with the Pelicans, how that's been growing. I want to talk a little bit about Solomon Hill, how he helps the defense with kind of his vocal stylings on the court, let's call it. And we got a few guys we want to look at and who's going to be intriguing to us tonight in the Pacers game at the Smoothie King Center a little bit later on today. But before we do that, I do need to mention the SeatGeek app and everything we've got going for you here. You know, SeatGeek, it's really the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I have the app on my phone. I told you guys the story of the Monday Night Football game I used it for the other day. You know, you can be anywhere and with just a few taps on your phone. You can get seats for the game this weekend or any game this season. The best thing they do is they're going to be comparing prices for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices are going to be different wherever you look, but with SeatGeek, you're always going to be able to get the lowest price. The other thing they do that's great is they tell you when certain tickets are kind of undercosted. You know you're going to get the best deal from them that way. Plus, with every ticket you buy on SeatGeek, it's backed by their 100% guarantee. So the thing we've got going for you here, the listeners of Locked On Pelicans, is once you download the app, go to the Settings tab, click Add a Promo Code, and type in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So it's a nice way to get a little something back for the game you want to go to anyway. And there's nothing like being games in person, whether you're in the Superdome or the Smoothie King Center. You definitely want to be there, and SeatGeek is going to be the way to go with that. Now, there is the preseason game tonight, but I want to touch on a bigger storyline first before we get into that game against the Indiana Pacers at 7 p.m. Central tonight in the Smoothie King Center. And that's going to be Anthony Davis. This is going to be a storyline this entire season going forward with him. You've already heard it and probably read about it a lot so far this offseason with just the start of training camp and one preseason game in the books. And, you know, it's a one-word storyline, and the word is leadership. You know, Davis last season, you know, in training camp and everything he said, he admittedly could have played harder. For that guy who's the star player on a team, a top 10 player in the NBA, for him to kind of admit that isn't, you know, a great thing, but it's nice to see that he's willing to take that accountability, and it's shown how he's grown over this past couple of years since he's been in New Orleans. What he said the other day, and I don't have audio of it, unfortunately for you, we'll try and get some of that later on, is he said, quote, "I think I could have played harder. It's just a flat out, you know, admission that he needed to do better. This team kind of sagged last year after the playoffs the year before. And a lot of that had to do with him kind of dogging it on plays. If you remember the game against the Dallas Mavericks, I believe it was in January, Elvin Gentry called him out during a timeout. The cameras caught it. It was a TV, a televised game, obviously. Cameras heard it. Davis wasn't really happy that the coach yelled at him in front of the teammates on TV. But in practice the next day, we were talking with Davis, and he said, you know, I looked at the film, and I realized I was. He realized he wasn't playing up to his potential, wasn't playing his hardest. And, you know, to see the star player do that, that's going to have an impact on the other guys. Is Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, any of those guys going to play as hard when they see their best player, the supposed de facto leader of this team, not doing it? And I think that's kind of wore onto this team a little bit last year. Maybe it had something to do with Davis getting the $140 million contract, you know, the first big, real big payday he's had in the NBA. And then this season, it's just been a different tune. He said the other day, after a practice, he said, coach hasn't had to stop practice yet for effort or playing hard. That was a big issue for us last year. You know, we've talked a lot about, and you've read a lot about, that they're trying to put this new locker room culture in place. Alvin Gentry said it was blue collar desperate is the phrase he wanted to use. He doesn't want these guys thinking they're better than they are. They need hard work every day. And after a 30-52 campaign last season, I think it kind of rubs off on the players. Some of the guys they signed also are, you know, kind of that mentality. Solomon Hill is a hardworking guy. Etwan Moore is a hardworking guy. These are, you know, highly regarded NBA players for their skills. But everywhere they've gone, you know, Hill's a little bit different. But Moore certainly has always gotten it done. Wasn't the most talented player in Chicago, but he managed to get a lot of playing time, earned himself a big contract, and that's through hard work and determination, which is what I think they're trying to do with this team this year. You know, Davis is finally just accepting and embracing this role as a leader. He was never a vocal leader. He's always a very well-reserved guy, you know, if you ever heard an interview with him, he's not going over the top with the statements he says. He just kind of smiles and likes to have fun. And you think he'd rather just kind of sit in his locker room, stay there laughing, as opposed to kind of telling people what they need to do. This year, it's been a little bit different. It seems like he stepped into this role more so than he has in the past. You know, he's the leader on this team and he needs to act like one. So, you know, I think it's going to be big for this team, and this is going to kind of transition into the next thing I want to talk about, where, you know, with this team this year, one of the bigger things is you might want to use your ears more than your eyes. So what do I mean by that? And Alvin Gentry's going to downplay preseason. He kind of did after Saturday's game a little bit, saying it wasn't as important. They're just trying to kind of figure some things out. But there still are important things to see here. And so when I say you might want to use your ears more than your eyes, especially if you're in the Smoothie King Center tonight, where I will be. So also, if you see me, come by and say hi. One of the big things you want to do tonight is listen. You want to listen, especially on defense. This team has had, you know, obviously trouble approaching the defensive side of the game these past couple of seasons, you know, really since Monty Williams' first year here, what was that, 6 years ago now, they've struggled on that side of the ball. A lot of it is due to a lack of communication. If you're at games, no one is talking on defense. You don't hear them speaking. They're not trying to tell each other where backdoor cutters are coming from. So, I mean, think about how many times a guy's cut from the corner of the three-point line, just a long side of the basket, gotten an easy pass for a layup, which wasn't even contested. And you're wondering, why is this guy running free? That's because this team isn't talking. They're not identifying where backdoor cutters are coming from. They're not identifying who needs to switch or hedge on the pick and roll. There's a lot of problems here. Omer Asik's the main guy who's done this the entire time for them. But even then, he hasn't been on the court as much, especially last season with the injuries. At times, he's just not good enough to be on the court. So this team needs to take it upon themselves to, you know, communicate more and get this out there. And this is the reason why Solomon Hill was brought in. You've heard him say it all preseason, all training camp, that he wants to communicate. He wants to be the guy who's leading this defense, who's locking down the best scoring defender, at least or perimeter offensive player they have. He wants to be the guy that's kind of the leader on this. Anthony Davis just hasn't stepped into that role yet, though he's being more vocal now. But if you're at the game tonight, listen, is this Pelicans team communicating? Is Anthony Davis calling out where people need to be? Is Solomon Hill calling out where people need to be? Those are the two main guys you want to listen for. Anyone else, though, are they calling out cutters? Are they calling out when they see a pick being set for a pick and roll to make it easier on, you know, for the on-ball defender to get around it or prepare for it and not give up an easy path to the basket or an easy lane? The Pelicans have stressed a group approach to everything this season. Think about when they were talking about the national anthem, whether they would kneel, protest, demonstrate, do whatever. They said they're going to approach it as a team. They want to approach this defensive side of the ball as a team as well. They want to approach really everything as a team, but since we're talking about defense here, this is what they want to do. It's going to take a lot of communication. Davis also reiterated this at Media Day when he said they want to kind of look at themselves as the Boston Celtics. A team that overachieved maybe a little bit last season, that doesn't really have a ton of star players, star, you know, caliber guys, but that, you know, was kind of greater than the sum of its parts. So that's what they want to approach it with this season. And if they can improve on defense, they ranked in the bottom third of the league last year, were very, very bad. That's where they have the most room to rise. It's not on offense where they have the most room to improve. If they can get a little bit better on defense and get into that top half, maybe even the top third, be one of those not quite elite defenses, but just good enough. That's where this team can improve. They brought in Darren Erman in Gentry's first year to be the associate head coach. He's known as a defensive guru. We didn't really see it last year, but he also doesn't think he had his type of players. Now with Solomon Hill in, a guy like Langston Galloway who can play, you know, cover two guard positions, they have less excuses. And if Anthony Davis is really stepping into this leadership role that we talked about a little bit earlier, there's going to be no excuse at all. They've got to be communicating on defense. Otherwise, they're going to still be kind of stuck in the same mindset and the same results that they did last season. So when you're there tonight, if you're there, first come say hi to me. Then, you know, keep your ears peeled and see if you can hear them talking. If they are, they have a very good chance to win this preseason game. Yeah, it's only preseason, but you still want to get wins. So listen a little bit more than watch tonight in that regards, and I bet it's going to be pretty illuminating. We'll talk about what we hear rather than saw tomorrow on Locked On Pelicans. All right, moving away from your ears and actually towards your eyes now, since we all do just want to watch the game, enjoy it, have fun, and, you know, talk about what we see. A few more guys to keep an eye on tonight in this preseason game. A win or a loss doesn't really matter, but it's going to be how certain people play. You know Anthony Davis is going to be just fine. You know other guys are going to be just fine. There's a few cases, fringe guys, we talked about them yesterday, that I think are a little bit more interesting than other players are. Terrence Jones is going to be the first one, had a very, very good game on Saturday. We mentioned it yesterday. The Pelicans cut Chris Copeland on Monday. That was one of the, probably in response to Terrence Jones' game. Jones hitting three-pointers, 2 for 3 from behind the arc on Saturday, probably just shut down Copeland's chance of making the team. Copeland known only as a three-point shooter, a court spacer, but if Jones can do that consistently, the Pelicans are getting some bonus for a guy they signed at a minimum. You know, look for him to get a lot of minutes tonight. Robert Sacre didn't play the other night on Saturday. You have to figure he might be the next cut, and that also has to do with the Pelicans think they might be set on bigs if you really look at Anthony Davis, Alexi Ajinsa, Omer Asik, and Terrence Jones now. And Solomon Hill can play the four as well. Terrence Jones, whose role is going to be kind of more important than it would have been to begin with. It sounds like Davis is going to be playing more center, and you know that's something we're going to cover later on throughout the week. But Davis is going to be playing more center than he has in the past. They're going to need another court spacing big. They don't want it to be kind of this twin tower mindset that Monty Williams wanted. If Davis is playing the five, you need a more athletic tweener four. Terrence Jones fits that mold perfectly. He can still space the court by going out to three-point range, but he's also not scared to get inside, rebound, and if he can get those rebounds for you, take some of the pressure off of Anthony Davis, it's going to make life a whole lot easier, and this Pelicans team will be largely more successful, and that small ball lineup with Anthony Davis at the five is going to be incredibly hard to stop. So if Jones can kind of bounce back to where he was 3 years ago, and he's been pretty, pretty bad these past two seasons, the Pelicans are going to have a gem of a player. I wasn't that high on the signing to begin with, but after his performance on Saturday, you know, I still don't think he's going to be an all-star type guy. He's not going to be the second banana here, but if he can be a solid contributor off the bench, a spot starter in certain lineups and with parts of the rotation, I think the Pelicans are going to be in a much better position than they would have as well. Look for him to probably play about 30 minutes tonight. You know, it's going to be an intriguing matchup for him. They've got Paul George back. He plays a lot of the four as well for the Pacers. So it's going to be tough for him at times defensively. But just see what he gives you. If he's given you any, if he's given the Pelicans anything similar to what he showed on Saturday night, he's really going to solidify his role in the rotation. And you know, there's no way we're not going to talk about Buddy Hield today. We'll probably talk about him every day. Sixth overall pick, the Pelicans rookie, first rookie they've had in a while. It's nice to see him showing a bit more on Saturday than he had in summer league, where he's kind of easing some of those concerns. Tonight, if you're watching him, when you're watching him, don't worry about his shooting. If he doesn't get hot from deep, it's okay. That's always going to come. You want to see if he can show off the similar skill sets that he did on Saturday. Summer league, his ball handling was abysmal. The turnovers were high. The only thing he did well was shoot, and he didn't even do that particularly well, only shooting 24 and some change percent from deep. So if Buddy Hield tonight can come out and show the court awareness he had the other night, where he had the alley-oops to Anthony Davis, where he had the good passes when he was double-teamed, that's kind of what we need to see from him. Dell Demps said the other day they drafted him to contribute right away. The Pelicans don't tend to like guys that are 18, 19, 20 years old. They want to go with more established players. It's that young veterans mindset you've heard and plan they've had the entire time. Buddy Hield fits that for a rookie. Being, you know, a four-year starter or a four-year player at Oklahoma, he comes in, they want him to contribute right away. As we've talked about, rookies tend to struggle right away in the NBA. They tend to be net negatives. If Buddy Hield's a one-dimensional player and that one dimension is just his shooting, you can mark good shooters out of the game. If you can't get him the ball, it's not going to be helpful. If the ball hits his hand and all he can do is shoot and not pass, it's easier to game plan around that if you're the defense. The Pelicans need him to show multiple dimensions. He started to show that Saturday and ease some of those concerns on Summer League, but it's a small sample size. You need to see it more often. So if he can continue to show that tonight, I think the Pelicans are going to be really happy with his progress going forward. Last guy we'll mention today, same one we talked about yesterday, and we'll start talking about new players as the week goes on, but these are the most intriguing to me and I think the most intriguing to Pelicans fans, is going to be the one and only Lance Stephenson. I have no idea, you know, what to expect tonight from him. He showed controlled parts of his game on Saturday, kind of playing within the system, helping the Pelicans just try and win, be a contributor, make the roster, which is what he said his goal was at Media Day. However, I heard a story. I was on the podcast on Locked On Pacers last night, and the gentleman was telling me a story about Lance Stephenson and how he actually was on a radio show in Indy the other day, and they started asking him about how his tenure ended in Indy, the antics he had, and everything like that, and he just kind of hung up on them, showing that you've got to wonder if he's over this, if he's kind of got a bad taste in his mouth towards this franchise. So when he steps on the court, I'm really curious if he's going to go hero ball, try and just take over the game himself to prove a point to his former team, or is he more focused on helping this Pelicans team win, of making a roster, of potentially, you know, making the most of his last chance in the NBA? And I really have no idea what to expect. We probably call this segment Lance Watch until he's either signed by the team or cut by them. But, you know, you want to see him just cutting down on some of the turnovers he had, cutting down on the personal fouls, just playing in control. He still has a ton of talent. He's very strong defensively. He's actually a guy I'm rooting for to make this team over maybe someone like Alonzo G who could get cut. Defensively, he's going to be able to help. He can cover a lot of positions, but if he's going to be a liability to this team when he's on the court, they're not going to be able to afford to go that way. So Lance Watch 2016, what's he going to do against his former team? We'll definitely talk about it tomorrow because I actually have no idea what to expect here. I think we'll wrap it up there today as we prepare for this Pelicans preseason game. First preseason game at home. I'm excited to be in the Smoothie King Center, see the new banners in place, the new graphics and everything. It's always fun to wander around and check everything out, so it should be a good time. I know they're doing a little bit of changing with the media seating. There might be some more floor seats available. See if they did anything to the court. I'll have pictures for you all. My Twitter handle is @NolaJake if you don't already follow me. Before I go, I got to mention SeatGeek again. Like I said, download that app. Don't be left out at home. One of the wonderful things about having an NBA team in your city is all of the great teams and players come to town. Don't be at home on opening night against the Nuggets. Don't miss when the Warriors come to town with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. When LeBron comes with Cleveland, download the SeatGeek app. Put in that promo code of LO Pelicans for Locked On Pelicans. Get $20 back. Make it a little bit cheaper on yourself. Get some of the best seats in the house at the Smoothie King Center for a cheap price. It's going to be wonderful. Never miss a Saints game. You know, if you're a huge Saints fan, don't forget about Locked On Saints, also part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Great things. I've started listening to them. I'm not from here originally, so I've never followed the Saints as much as I have the past couple of seasons, more so now. And they're a great resource, so I've really been enjoying listening to that so far. So thanks, everyone, for listening today. I'm Jake Madison, writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, @NolaJake. This has been Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm going to get some music in here for you guys soon, so we'll have an intro and outro. If anyone has any recommendations, please let me know. And if you're at the game, I will see you tonight. You all have a good Tuesday.